Well, good morning, everyone. It's not my normal habit to be up in the first session, but my body clock tells me today that if there's any chance of reasonable thought and intelligible speech, it better come early in the day rather than later. So what I want to do with you is I just want to read a few verses, first of all, from Jeremiah and chapter number 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, and we'll read from verse number 23. Jeremiah 9 and 23 says this: Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. For I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Daniel chapter 11, please. Verse number 32, the last little phrase of the verse is particularly on my mind as we begin. Beginning at the beginning of the verse, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Notice the connection with Jeremiah. Let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Daniel 11. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Just one last verse for a moment, please. In John's Gospel, in chapter 17. And I know you all know this, but let's just read it. John's Gospel and chapter 17, and it says this, verse number 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, that they might know thee. He understandeth and knoweth God. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. Let me tell you where I'm coming from this morning. Spiritually, I mean. It wouldn't be difficult to know where I come from geographically. But let me tell you where I'm coming from spiritually. Far more important than your geography, folks, is your spiritual direction and spiritual origins. Two things I would like to say. I believe that one of the crying needs of the day amongst Western Christians, and I choose my words very carefully, is a proper biblical understanding of the character of God. We've read in our Bible this morning the importance of what? Knowing the Bible, for sure. But the Word of God emphasizes both in the Old Testament and the New Testament the paramount importance of knowing the character of God. And certainly in our Western society, we have a very skewed view of the character of God. I believe that if we have a proper understanding of God's character, we will see him not as a tyrannical dictator on the one hand, or a sentimental Father Christmas on the other. But we will have a proper biblical view about God, because we have read something very important from three passages of Scripture this morning that could equally have been emphasised from anywhere in the Bible, and it's this. The important thing about our life is not us, it's God. We live in a Western society that says, it's all about me. Do you know what the Bible says? It's all about God. We have polluted a gospel to a point where it is presented as merely a means to an end of some self-centred interest for eternity. Now let me tell you folks, I'm so thankful that I'm saved for all eternity. Let me make that very clear. But let me tell you, the glory of salvation is not what it says about me, it's what it says about God. What it says about God. You know, I just wonder if I really know God. And you say, come on, man. Of course I know God. I'm saved. Do you know the Saviour, they say? Often, do you know the Saviour? Well, get to know him tonight. Let me tell you, praise God for a day that under his hand I bowed the knee and came to know him as my Saviour. But let me tell you, knowing God is about more than just some instantaneous transaction that happened when you were young. Knowing God is a lifetime of experience in the deepest sense. And I challenge you this conference, folks. Not do you know your Bible, important as it is, but do you know God? For here is what we read. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the rich man in his riches, nor the strong man in his might, but let him that glorieth glory in this, he understandeth and knoweth me. Do you know God? Do I know God? See, of course I do, I get saved. Let me tell you folks, I'm married, but it took me a long time to get to know my wife. Matter of fact, I better be careful what I say, because she's here today. I'm not even sure after 28 years I do, but I can tell you this, she certainly knows me. If we were to go to a restaurant in Winnipeg and we were to get one of these menus out and there was three choices for the starter, do you know what after 28 years my wife could do? She could pick right first time what I would be taking for my starter. And for my main course. And for my dessert. Why? Because over the years, she's got to know me. Listen to the word of the New Testament. Grow in grace and in your knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Do you know anybody that knows God? I mean, really knows God. Do you? I'm not one for dropping names, and I won't, but I can tell you this. In my lifetime, I have known at least three men that knew God in a real and definite way. And let me tell you, I learned more by their company than any other thing in my Christian life. Let me say to you, young Christian, find somebody that knows God. I don't mean intelligently, I mean experientially. I don't mean objectively, I mean in reality. Find somebody that knows God and you stick with them, because I'll tell you this, you'll learn more from them than you certainly will from me. So I want to tell you this weekend that the burden of my heart is to try and encourage you to get to know God. But the other direction I'm coming to, and we don't have a long time this morning, so I just want to give a little introduction to what I want to say is this. I believe passionately in the absolute, definite clarity of the Scripture. You may say to me, you know, that is one of the most simple things I've ever heard in a conference. Let me tell you, folks, we in 2011 do not stand in need of some Rob Bell or Brian McLaren to reinterpret the scripture in a cultural context. Or some mystical Gnostic to give you the inside story in the Bible. We need to heed what we heard last night. Whatever he saith unto me, I'll do it. There is a great movement in North America which is creeping its way across the Atlantic, if you can creep over water, but you understand what I mean. It denies three things. Number one is this. They deny doctrinal certainty. In other words, you can be clear about what the Bible teaches. Let me tell you, folks, this morning, we can be absolutely clear about what the Bible teaches. And the way you understand what the Bible teaches, I'm going to give you a couple of big words, so poise your pen carefully. The way you can understand what the Bible teaches is by exegesis, not eisegesis. Looking for a few raised eyebrows so that I've got an opportunity to explain. Exegesis says this: let me take the Bible and let it speak to me. Let me take truth from the Word of God and apply it to me. Let me take the Bible at face value and apply it to me. Let me believe what the Bible says is what the Bible says. Exegesis. Do you know what eisegesis is? To put your own ideas in the Bible that are not there. Fanciful fantasizing and speculation. Spiritual gymnastics that take a presupposition of an existing state and put into the Bible what we believe to be true. To find here what we want to find. Let me tell you, folks, that is not the way to read your Bible. And a movement is rising to bring doctrinal certainty down, to bring scriptural clarity down. And in doing that, it brings down gospel exclusivity. In other words, universalism becomes the order of the day. God speaks today. God speaks today not by some special cultural relevance and application, nor some initiated mystical Gnostic who has the inside story that you don't, but God speaks today through his word and by his Holy Spirit. So let me say something for a couple of minutes. This is really where I wanted to go. When I was a boy, a man who knew God took an interest in me. And if ever there was an evidence of the grace of God, that was what it was. And the first thing he said to me was, "Jim, tell me how you read your Bible. How do you read your Bible?" I says, "Well, I open the pages and there it is." And he says, No. Tell me, what kind of system have you got for reading your Bible?" And we talked all about it. But when I was about 20, he introduced me to a system that takes you through the Bible in 1 year completely. It's called the Henry Grove's Bible Reading Calendar. And if you haven't got one, I can give you one at the end. And when I was 20, I started to read through the Bible every year. So in 1 year, you get through the whole Bible. Let me tell you, nothing was a greater help to me in my Christian life than that single piece of advice. And maybe some of you are doing that off the Choice Cleaning's calendar, because that's the one they put on the Choice Cleaning's calendar. And if you're like me and you've been doing that, you'll understand this, that for the last 4 days you've been ploughing through that passage in Leviticus that speaks all about leprosy. Leprosy in the individual. Leprosy in your garments. Leprosy in your house. And I confess to you, for the first few days I was doing just that. I was ploughing through those sections. You know, the boil and the raised hair and the yellow and the white. And you've been there, haven't you? You've been there. You understand what I mean. And I got to thinking, on the plane actually, on the way across here, I wonder why so much emphasis on leprosy. And just last night, during the night, I got my answer. Leprosy is such an important picture in the Bible. And what's in my heart, if the Lord allows us over the rest of this weekend, if I get another opportunity, I want to speak about leprosy as a picture of sin. Sin. Now, we're used to that. We're used to hearing gospel preachers take up the leprosy as sin and naming and all that sort of thing. But I'll tell you what I'm thinking about today. What I'm thinking about this weekend is, sin is a picture, leprosy is a picture of sin, not in the life of the unbeliever, but in the life of the believer. And if you've opportunity over, I nearly said lunchtime, you don't call it lunchtime, what do we call it at 12 o'clock? I don't know. Eat time. Read Luke 5. In Luke 5, you'll discover there's a leper that the Lord Jesus loved. Hey? Brothers and sisters, we are so quick to forget that we are the lepers that the Lord Jesus loved. But a little further on in Luke, what you'll get a little further on in Luke chapter 17, is not a leper that the Lord Jesus loved. Do you know what you'll get in Luke 17? You'll get a leper that loved the Lord Jesus. Hey? 10. And everyone blessed, but only one gave glory to God. But where I was hoping to get to, and we won't do now because everybody's hungry and so am I, let me tell you this. You know what you get in 2 Kings chapter 7? Lepers that the Lord uses. Remember those four? The four men? The four lepers in the city? That went out and found that wonderful deliverance that God had wrought. They said, this is a day of good tidings. We do not well. We hold our peace. And God used lepers to bring deliverance to a needy city. Brothers and sisters, I trust that these little things are not fanciful extrapolations from my imagination. But praise God, every single one of us today are lepers that the Lord Jesus loves. And you know what we're going to have to learn? We're going to have to love lepers just like the Lord Jesus did. I wonder if we're amongst that company that could really say, not only am I a leper that the Lord Jesus loved, but I'm a leper that loves the Lord Jesus. You know, I was with a brother just recently. Not in our circles, so you'll just need to excuse him. And we stood and we talked as we had some coffee. And you know, we talked about all sorts of things. Things that have been referred to during the weekend, things that have not. But you know what he did with me as we were just about to leave? He put his hand in my arm and with tears in his eyes, he said this, Jim, I love the Lord Jesus. I love the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we don't love him the way we should. But praise God we love him. Lepers that love the Lord. But maybe God will just touch us this weekend and put us amongst a company of lepers that God can use. May God grant that we'll be amongst that company that will be used by a lovely and compassionate Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless his word.